It's harvest time. Again, there is plenty. So long, God has blessed our land. Hunger has ne'er touched our family. Thanks to his bountiful hand, we've been graciously blessed. And he does it again and again. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for your bountiful hand. We've been does it again and again. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for your bountiful hand. We've been
say, I want to thank you came here to hear some dynamic preaching, and you already have. There's been a lot of preaching going out through the songs and testimonies already, but I know you're a lot of you here for the deviled eggs and the and all that stuff, so I'm okay being second, but I'm glad you're here. But while you're here, we've got the door shut and they're locked, and you cannot get out till I'm done, and we give the sign to let you out. But if I do see a door being cracked and fanned, then I know it's time to wrap it up. So, but yeah, it's good to have y'all with us today. What a great crowd. God has truly been blessed, and we've had a lot of folks come last several weeks, couple of months or so, I guess. Folks have been getting energized and excited and coming back to church, and so we got a lot of work to do, church, so we need you here, and we're glad you're here. Go ahead and stand with me, if you will. We're still in the book of 1 Samuel, going through his story and his life, and I tell you, I'm learning a lot just seeing the things that Samuel has experienced. We know a little bit about him, but when we dissect somebody's life, we learn a whole lot more. We're going to read out of 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse number 18 through 22. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man into his city." Father, as we come today to, I'm already just praising you for how good it is to be in your house. What a great, sweet spirit there is here. God, we're just blown away by the faithfulness and the boldness of our young people. Not only are they just standing up here, but to see their boldness to sing out those praises unto you, God, and lift up a song to glorify you, Lord. I'm so thankful as we look and we think about our young people. And I even said it this morning, that's our future. But you know what, Lord? That's not our future. That's our present. Amen. They're part of us and active today. We're not waiting on them to grow up to become servants of yours. We're expecting them to continue to serve and make a difference for the kingdom of God today and right now. So God, forgive me of my sins and forgive us of our iniquities, anything that would hinder your service today as we look into your word. For these next few moments, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would have dominion in this place. Everyone under the sound of our voice, God, we're praying that you'll do a great work today as never before. What a day for somebody to get saved. What a day for somebody to give their heart and life to you. What a day for somebody to rekindle that fire that burned in them so many years ago. We pray for you to work, God, and do a wonderful work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. This is an interesting part that we're going to look at now. We're looking at him. Samuel's going to go to find Saul. They're going to meet. He's going to anoint him the first king over Israel. Because it's already been said, you know, we want a king. We demand a king. And because God didn't necessarily want that for them, yet because of their persistence, he said, go ahead and give them one. Go ahead and give him one. So we looked at that over the last few weeks. Now comes the day when he's actually going to be anointed, and we see the process of him being presented to the people as the first king of Israel. So when we think about this meeting that happened between Samuel and Saul, it's very beautiful. We're not careful. We'll miss some important little details of this coming together. Do you feel like that God has a plan for your life? Do you? I mean, do you believe that? Do you really believe that God has a plan for your life? He does have a plan for your life. You may not like the plan that God has for your life. You may not agree with the plan that God has for your life, but God has a plan for your life. And He has places that he wants you to go. He has people that he wants you to cross paths with. God has so much in store for you. And what is the one thing that can hinder us fulfilling the plan that God has for us? What's the one thing that can hinder that? Us. We are the problem in not seeing God's plan fulfilled. So I want to look at this beautiful meeting, this joining together, and share just a few little high points. So as we go, we're going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter number 9, just the next chapter over in verse number 3. It said, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said unto Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee. Rise and go and seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and he passed through the land of Shalisha." I have no idea on that. We'll go with that. "But they found them not." Now notice here three times what we're going to say. He found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they found them not. They passed through the land of the Benjamites, and they found them not. So Saul's on a search for these donkeys that belong to his daddy. Take a servant, go find these donkeys. And so we don't think a whole lot about it, but I'm wanting to read a little bit into the character of Saul. At least he was a man, I believe, that he searched for these donkeys. He was persistent in the search. And I thought, man, how persistent am I in my search for God? How persistent am I in doing those things that God tells me he wants me to do? How faithful, how committed am I to the things God leads me to do? Remember, I mentioned earlier that God's plan for you may not be something you're crazy about right now. But God will give you peace about it. God will give you direction. I think a lot of the times we're reluctant to serve God because of the fear of the unknown, don't you? I don't know it so much that we just don't like what God's telling us He wants us to be a part of, as much as we don't know what's going to happen when we get in there. We don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know how difficult it's going to be for us to build this building. We knew how this one came about, which was a beautiful story, by the way, and I wish somebody would write it down because it was beautiful how we got here. We don't know how this building's going to go. It's the unknown. We've never started a school before. It's the unknown. But if we believe that God is directing us in certain areas of our life, whether individually, whether as a family, or whether as a church body, then we got to believe that God has the plan to get us there, and it's us continuing to be persistent and faithful in what we know to do, and then God will provide everything we need as we go. He searched and He searched and He searched three different times and said He found them not. Are you willing to search that fourth time? Are you willing to go that fifth place? I mean, are you going to get to a certain point in your life with the Lord to where we're going to say, well, God, I've done everything I feel like I need to do. I've done enough for You. Do you think that when we reach a certain age physically, that if we get to 65, that we can actually retire, then can I just retire from God's work too? Can I say I've accomplished everything I need to do and I can just hang out, you know? Just because we may retire in this world doesn't mean we ever retire from God's work. Amen. There's no retirement for me. There's no retirement for you. There's no retirement for anybody that's a servant of God. I think it's sad, but over the years I've talked to different people that are older folks than I am, and they would talk about all the things that had happened when they were in their 30s, 40s, even 50s, you know. The people that they saw saved and the people that the things they did and teaching Bible school and singing in the choir, whatever it might be, but all these things they did. But the question, I say, well, what are you, I don't mean it in a hateful way, but what are you doing now? What are you doing now? I'm not asking it to be cruel or to be mean, but it's like just because we're physically not able to do some of the things, I'm not doing a lock-in, Ernest. I'm not going to call you and say, I'll be there. I did lock-ins. You know, I've had pie in the face. I've been chocolate syruped and leafed, as opposed to tarred and feathered. I mean, I've been through the gamut of those things in youth ministry. I understand there comes a day when ministry changes for us. Thank the Lord. But serving God is never going to get old, and we're never going to retire from that. So how persistent are you? Are we willing to go wherever and do whatever it is that God leads us to do? Yeah, there's a fear of the unknown. We don't get what's going to be there, but be faithful to God, because therein lies, listen to this, therein lies the only blessing. That's it. There's no blessing any other way than when we serve God. So secondly, look in verse number 5 and 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 9. And when they come to the land of Zuph, Zuph is in the same area of Ramah where, guess who lives in Ramah? Samuel. Well, how ironic. How ironic for him as he's searching for these donkeys that he searches one place, a second place, a third place, and he ends up in the same area, in the same city where Samuel is at. After God had just told Samuel, yeah, they want a king, they're demanding a king. I want to be their king, but if they're going to refuse me, then I'm going to set one over them. So I'm going to show you who's going to be the next king. Wouldn't you know that old Saul ended up in the hometown of where Samuel's at. Said Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. How interesting. As he searched the third place and he came into the city of where Samuel's at, and he got to thinking, you know, we've been searching a long time for these donkeys. Are they really worth it? We start to weigh out the value of what we're doing. Is us doing what we're doing for the Lord really worth it? I mean, if you're somebody, you feel like God's called you to be a prayer warrior, and you've been praying and praying and praying, but you're seeing nothing. How long do I need to keep praying, God? Well, God, I'm hanging in there and I'm teaching that class, but man, the numbers are getting down. It's just me and my kids because I make them come. Yet my wife has to listen to me. I mean, have you been in a situation before that you know God is telling you to do something, but as you do it and as you commit, it seems as though there is zero fruit of your labor? And we get to the point to where we kind of struggle with that, don't we? Have you ever struggled in God's leadership for your life? Has it ever got really tough for you? Has it got hard for you to obey God and not just want to give up and throw your hands up? I just quit. I'm leaving. I know even in church life, especially, it can be very hard when a pastor leaves or something. I'm not leaving. You got me, like, hey, you stuck with me. Amen. I love you. Anybody over here? So, I don't even know where I was going. But when we struggle with, when it gets tough serving God, and you know what we do? What we do is we start thinking, bad mistake. Bad mistake. Don't start thinking. Just do what we know to do and trust God, and God will develop that plan. But as they got to this place in Ramah, and Saul said, you know something, man, we've been searching. And we might as well go back home because Dad just going to start worrying about us. He's not going to worry about the donkeys anymore. If we don't come back in another day or two, Dad's going to send out a search party for us. Let's just go back home and let's just call it what it is. They're gone and we're not getting them back, and let's just go back home. The servant said, you know what? We're actually in a city near Ramah. We're exactly where a man of God is at. They called him a seer back then, but the same thing meant prophet. There's a seer here, and whatever he says, God uses him in a mighty way. So why don't we just go in and inquire of him and see if he can help us out? Let's give it one last effort before we call it quits and go back home. And what I see here is this. I see in the servant and Saul, we're Saul, and we're doing what we feel like we need to do. But then when it gets tough, when it gets hard, when we struggle, if God says, build this building over here, that's his plan and that's his will. He didn't tell us any obstacles or hurdles we may have to face between now and getting that built. So when the first one pops up and we're struggling with what do we need to do? That's where the rubber hits the road, and that's what determines where your heart really is with God. That shows what kind of person you really are. So what happens is we're Saul. We're saying, listen, it's getting tough. We might as well go back home. We might as well just quit. The servant says, there's a man of God. If we'll just go in and seek him, he'll tell us what we need to do. You know what the servant is? He's the Spirit of God, and he's telling us, when it gets tough, when it gets hard in life. I want to tell you something. Life is hard for everybody in here. I believe it. I believe life is tough. It's challenging. It stinks at times, doesn't it? Doesn't life just stink? Because it seems like I have more bad things happen, more difficult things happen than good things. It's hard to just be alive today. Thank God, though, we're alive today. Amen. Thank God we have an opportunity and we have a choice and we have the ability to do things for God. We can be sidetracked. We can be confused. So what we got to do is we got to be like Saul when the Spirit through that servant spoke. We've got to listen to what God's trying to say to us and do our best to follow him and to obey him. Because I'm going to tell you, when we start thinking, we start making choices on our own, we're always going to choose the wrong path, right? I don't think it's possible for us when God gives a command and a direction, and when I start finding challenges in getting to that point, and when I start choosing for myself how to best deal with the situation, it always ends in failure. Why does it always end in failure? Because my ways and my will is not God's way and God's will. It opposes God. Folks say, man, I'm having a hard time. I don't know if I need to stay. I don't know if I need to go. I don't know if I need to do this or do that. If God has not spoken and given new clear direction, don't move. But if God gives direction and he says move, then you better move wherever it is and whatever it is God's telling you to do. See, it's a matter of us obeying the leadership of God. It's a matter of us hearing what he's saying and doing the best of our ability what God's telling us to do. Already a couple of nuggets we found. Let's continue to read on. We're in verse number 19 now when Saul and Samuel actually meet together here. Said Samuel answered Saul and he said, I am the seer. You know, they're coming in town. They're questioning, asked, where's the seer? And he said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. As for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? See, he's laying it down pretty heavy already, and he's already letting him know up front, don't worry about the donkeys. Donkeys are in good hands. God's put something heavier on you. God's put something more important on you. God's put something great in your lap. Down in verse number 25, he says, when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. What nugget do we pull from that? First thing Samuel did when he talked to him, he said, hey, yeah, I'm the seer. Let me tell you right off the bat, the donkeys you're looking for, they're safe. They've been found. They're in good hands. Don't worry about them. Now I want to talk to you about something bigger. Now I want to talk to you about something grander. I want to talk to you about something about God placing a crown on your head. You're going to have the opportunity to be the king, the first king over Israel. So what do we pull from that? That if we will eliminate the distractions of life, we can focus and see clearly the plan, the big plans that God has for us. Amen. So what do we need to do? We need to eliminate the distractions from our life. So when I say we need to remove the distractions from our life, I know what all you ladies are thinking. Don't send your husbands and your kids to me. Amen. That's not the distractions he's talking about. What he's talking about is, yeah, you can have a chaotic, busy life, and we can still have distractions removed. Some of y'all actually can multitask. I am not good at that. But I can be at peace in my heart and still be busy. Do you believe that can happen? Yeah. Do you believe you can be actually busy but still remain peaceful and focused spiritually? Yes, you can. You sure can. God made us to be able to handle things and to handle life and to handle our spouses and our kids and our job and our demands, all those things. And all those things are important, and it's necessary for us to be involved in those. Now, God's talking about the distractions that come in here and mess with us. The distractions that come here as we look and see things and hear things that are trying to pull us away from God. There's nothing wrong with being busy. Being busy is not necessarily being distracted. God's saying, I've got a plan for you. And if we all agreed this morning that God has a plan for us, then what we need to do is we need to eliminate those distractions out of our life. Now, granted, the distractions might be the people you're hanging out with. You may have the wrong friends. But you know what? If they're not encouraging you to be where you need to be with God, then I'm going to tell you right now, they're not friends. Sanballat and Tobiah tried their best to bring down the building of the walls, and Nehemiah was one that he said, I'm not going to come down and talk with you. They wrote him notes, you know. They sent him letters. They called to him. Nehemiah, come down here and meet with us and talk with us. You know, we're your neighbors. Come down, talk to us. Knowing that their whole plan was to disrupt and take over and take charge what was going on in the building of that wall. They said, come down and meet us at the coffee house and let's have a cup of coffee. Let's talk about what you're trying to do here in building this wall. And he said, you know something, boys? I don't have time to come sit and drink coffee with you and talk to you. I'm building this wall because that's what God told me to do. They sent time and time again to try to distract him. Every time he said, I don't have time for you. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but I'm telling you something. I don't have time for you because it's distracting me from focusing on God's plan. Maybe you need a different job, you know. Maybe the things that are going on even in your workplace have become a distraction for you. I don't know. Maybe we need to listen to a different kind of music. Maybe we need to watch a little different type of program. There are a lot of things that can become distractive in your life. So whatever it is, know that as long as we're allowing distractions to remain in our life, then we're not going to have a clear vision and focus on what it is that God's trying to tell us he wants us to do. Don't you want to see God's plan clearly? I do. I want to see it clearly. You better know through the building that we're jumping into here, we want to have clear vision for that. Yeah, amen. Amen. And so we encourage the church to pray, and those that are not members of the church, pray with us that we'll have God's clear, precise vision for that. We want to be able to see what God has in mind there. But just as we are thinking about the importance of praying of a building for the church, pray about those things that happen in your life every day. Those are just as important. May not cost as much money, but those things are just as important. Pray that God would give us the clear vision that we need in our lives. Now in verse number 21, it says, Saul answered and he said, and here's where it gets a little bit different. You know, he's already told him, you're going to be the man, you're going to be the king, and God set you aside. He's kind of alluding to this already, but now when it comes to verse 21, Saul comes back to Samuel and he says, am not I just a Benjamite? Of the smallest of the tribes of Israel. So he's already identified and labeled himself, I'm the least of anybody in Israel. Our people, the Benjaminites, are the least of anybody in Israel. He said, and my family is the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? He said, not only are we the smallest tribe, but I'm the smallest family in the smallest tribe. I mean, listen, if we want to knock ourselves, he's doing a great job of saying he's unqualified and he's unworthy. There's nothing wrong with you and I feeling unworthy to do anything for the Lord because we're really not worthy. And it's okay a little bit for us to feel like we're unqualified because really none of us are qualified to do anything for God. But when you got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're here today and you are saved, that made you worthy. Amen. To do anything for the kingdom of God. And then when you hear that Holy Spirit speak, as that servant said to Saul, let's go find the seer. When you hear the Spirit speak to you and give direction in your life, then you're qualified to do whatever it is. But now, wait a minute. God's telling me to get up here and sing a song. I don't sing very well. If God tells you to do it, you're qualified. Because whatever he wants to come out of your mouth is going to be something beautiful. It may sound like chicken scratching, but I'm telling you what, somehow or other, the Spirit's going to do something beautiful with that, and it's going to come to the ears of the people how it needs to come to. I'll never forget. I can't remember the name of the church, but that's irrelevant anyway. Just a little small church in Sevier County. This has been years ago. I don't even think I had my first pastorate yet. I can't remember the time frame, but regardless, I was asked to come and preach on a Sunday night. Little church, you know, I don't know. It's maybe 30, 40 people. I don't know if there was even that many there that night. But went to preach, and, you know, back in the day, and some I'm sure still do, kind of like open mic night, you know. It's like whoever's got a song, come up and sing it, you know. And different people would meander up to the podium, you know. And I think everybody in the church had sung in there except me that night. And it was beautiful. It was good. But then one little old lady, about halfway back or so, She got up and was the last one to sing. Because after her, after I tell you this, you're going to understand why. She got up and walked all the way up there. And she got a hold of the hymn book. And she said, I don't sing very well. But God told me I need to get up here and do my best to try to sing this song. She basically just read the words, because when she tried to sing, it really come out, several different pitches there were going on. So if you were to sit back and judge her presentation, you'd say, man, it sounds awful. But when you heard it by the Spirit of God, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. You see, people were affected by her faithfulness. It's not a matter of what you think you can do. It's what God knows He can do. And if He leads us, well, then we need to be responsive. So he came to him and he's talking to him. Oh, I'm just the least in my family. Down in verse number 27 of chapter 9, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, and notice what happens here. They're walking together, Samuel, Saul, the servant. The three S's are walking down the street. And Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant to pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand still a while that I may show thee the word of God. So they're walking down here. They've already communed. They've fellowshiped. They've visited. The distractions have been taken away. So now he's saying, listen, just us here, send your servant ahead. He don't have any business what we're about to talk about, but you stay right here. I want to talk to you about, and I want to share the word of God with you, Saul. Here's what he said. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, and he poured it upon his head, and he kissed him, and he said, is it not because the Lord hath appointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Anointed Saul to be the first king over Israel. A man that said, not only am I Benjamite, the smallest tribe, but I'm the smallest family within the smallest tribe. Who am I to be able to do anything for God? So what do we see here? We see he's anointed to be king. What does that tell us? It says that opportunities are available for anybody that will bow their head before God and say, God, use me however you see fit. It's a matter of us trusting God and believing in God, and God can and will do great things in and through our lives. Let me lay this out to you as well. Do you ever think that maybe, because of my past, I can't do certain things because of my past. I got a terrible past, All the things I've done, all the wrong that I've done, all the sins I've committed, the mistakes that I've made, there's no way God could use me. Have you asked God that? Do you think God can use anybody if they're willing? Well, if we do, then guess what? If you're willing, then God can use you. Now we get to the last couple of thoughts before we wrap up. And this deals more with the nation of Israel. The decision they made to want to have a king. I'm going to read in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 17. Samuel called the people together unto the Lord in Mizpah, and he said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all kingdoms, all that oppressed you. All ye have this day, and ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said to him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. So what he did again, it's like, I'm giving you one last shot. You've rejected God. You're demanding a king. God wants to be your king. But if you insist on having a king, divide yourselves up by your tribes, and God's going to select a king from among you. And you know something? They cheered. They rallied. They were excited. They knew that they had rejected God. What does this tell us? It tells us there is a cost to the sins that we commit. There are consequences to sin. We disobey God, we sin against God, openly, publicly, privately, however it is, there are going to be consequences to the sins we commit. These people denied God. He said, listen, do you know what you're doing? Do you know that you refuse God's will? And they're saying, yes, we know it, and we want to keep doing it. We may not say it with our lips, but we do it with our actions, show our disapproval and disobedience of God and His will and His way. So what's it going to cost us? Sin's going to cost us a great deal. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Do you want to pay that kind of price? Refusing to receive Christ into our life will bring our own condemnation, and we'll go to hell without embracing the salvation of Christ. So know that sin has a cost, and this last part is where it hits hardest. 1 Samuel 10, 24, Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen." He had the Benjamin tribe to come. He had the house that Saul was in to come forward, and they selected Saul to be the king over Israel. And as he proclaimed him to be the king, he said, Samuel said, "See ye whom the Lord hath chosen. There's none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book. Remember when we read a couple weeks ago, he said, if you want a king, here's what he's going to do. And there's a laundry list of things. He's going to take everything away from you. So he wrote it again. He put it in this book, and we've read it a couple weeks ago. And he said he laid it up before the Lord, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man unto his own house. I would want to think and hope that that would be an exciting time to establish a king and a kingdom. But because of their disobedience of God, we know not only do they have the results and the consequences of their choices and their sins, but now, as soon as he became king, it began. Oh, we thought he was going to be a great king. We were blinded to these things. But no, he is taking our sons. He is taking our daughters. There is an extreme cost to letting our will be done as opposed to God's will being done. So they sinned against God. They had to live with the results of their sin against God, which is a terrible ending to a story. But I don't want to leave it there. I always want to leave us with hope. Even though they failed God miserably. How many times did Samuel come to them and say, "God wants to be your king. Let him be your king." And he said, "No, we refuse it." Time and time again, God pleaded with them. They continued to refuse, refuse, refuse. And so they got what they wanted. And it cost them greatly, and it cost them dearly. Have you ever done something that's costed you greatly? Have you sinned against God and it's caused you to suffer greatly? Listen, we all have a past, don't we? Yeah, we'd all have one. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it we really would like to forget. But regardless of where you're at today and what you've done, and if you failed God miserably, just as Israel failed God, you know what the beauty is and how we can finish on a high note? Is that there's still time for repentance. There's still time for forgiveness. Yes, I can't go back and undo the choices I've made in the past. I can't make those better. And I have to live with the consequences of those sins, absolutely. But I can choose today and right now to say, from this moment, I'm not going to continue to live that way. I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to surrender to God and do everything I can to honor him. I want blessed in my life. And I know there's only one way to get it, when I'm on my face before God. So I don't know where you're at today and what you've done or what you're dealing with, what you're struggling with right now, but I know that today Jesus Christ is your answer. Whether you're here and you're already saved and you're just struggling with sin, whether you're here today and you're lost and you need to be saved, Jesus Christ is your answer today. Let's stand and pray as we begin our invitation. Fathers, we come to you this morning and we're thinking about the decisions that were made by Israel and how terrible, the consequences were terrible. They had to live under the rule of this ungodliness, and they had to live with the choices that they had made. God, how terrible it was and difficult for them. And God, we have a past as well. And I know, God, that none of us can go back and change it, or we would change so many things. But God, you're not going to take us back. You're not going to give us those opportunities. So what's the next best thing? Is to help us not repeat those same sins. Help us, God, today to choose you. Help us not sit and wallow in our sin and continue to down ourselves and we're hopeless, we're helpless. No, God, let us see the light. Let us see that there is hope in you. Let us see that there's a lost soul here today. It's a great day to be saved, and you can forgive us of all of our sin. Help the saved people today to see, God, that there are things that you forgive us of and cleanse us of, God, and you'll take them away from us, and they'll never bother us again. And you can start fresh today with a brand new journey, a brand new walk. Whatever you need to do, God, let your Spirit draw us and move us on our face before you at this altar. We pray this earnestly in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.